So this morning I'd like to say a few more words about practicing with Vedana, and hopefully by the end of the few words it'll be even clearer than it is right now. So to support that, we are offering a translation, which is in the far back corner over there. And feel free to head over there if you feel like it would be helpful to have some translation for the first part of the practice. So the kind of explanation, the theoretical side of it. For the guided, we'll have that quiet, not translated. Yeah, so it's Shlomit, and you can look over there, go towards her in the white. If you have now suddenly realized that you're very near a translation and you would much prefer not to have two versions of this explanation happening kind of simultaneously, you can also take this opportunity to move to somewhere else in the hall. So we have a little bit more space here. Feel free to come to a different place. So what we get to experience in life is that occasionally it's pleasant, it's the way we'd like it, and at other times it's unpleasant, not the way we'd like it. And sometimes it's just in between. Okay, and in a way that's Vedana. So there's kind of three types of experience. It's an oversimplification to support us working with experience. Yeah. Many times we might come to meditation and because we're interested in knowing what's really real. Yeah. What's reality really like? Dharma teachings aren't actually making a claim about what reality is like. What they're actually telling us is, what is your experience of reality like? And what can you do about that? How can you hold that? How can you relate to that? Yeah. So we're not saying, this is what life is like. It's not a simple explanation like that. But this is a way of relating to your experience that supports the easing of dukkha. That's why these teachings exist. So I don't want you to confuse what I'm going to be saying as an explanation of reality. What I'm offering and passing on are teachings of liberation. Yeah? Things that can help us to feel more free. Things that can help us to adjust and meet our experience well. And so that's why this is considered an insight teaching. It offers an understanding and a way of relating that can bring more well-being. If it's not bringing you more well-being, then it could be because I haven't explained it very well. I think we should look at that as the primary cause. And secondly, it could be that it's not the right time for you to be engaging in this. You know, either it feels too remote, doesn't feel very immediate, doesn't feel applicable. Yeah. And if it isn't, don't do it. Right? There's no hierarchy between these teachings. Yeah. If what really works for you is soothing, easing, relaxing, if it's paying attention to experience in a kind of mindfulness type of way, whatever brings you the most amount of freedom is the appropriate thing to do, the right thing to do. It's aligned with your life, your experience, and all that. So these external things, like instructions, and teachings, and all of that, they are invitations. But you have to decide whether you want to come to that party, or you've got your own party going on, and you want to deepen with that. Yeah? So if there is a hierarchy, it's a hierarchy personal to you, according to what you feel. What you understand is the most helpful. But we are offering this because it does offer an escape from the build-up of dukkha, right? Experience builds up through reactivity, and Vedana just helps us to notice, whoa, that's a lot of reactivity, because this is unpleasant. And then I can discover different ways of holding that, different ways of relating to that. And also it can invite us to see, if something is beautiful, I can also let it in. I can also remind myself, you have to stay with this stuff. Yeah, you have to open here too. Right? Be very quick. No, doesn't matter. Maybe it does matter. Maybe we can make more out of that. And also that there are all kinds of experiences that are overlooked. Maybe there's a richness to come into. We bring those more to life. So even if we feel that Vedana, yeah, that's the way, that's what I want to be doing, still balance it with calming, soothing, easing through the kinds of practices we've been doing already. Yeah, it's not like you switch all together across there. Really insight practices that have a deeper understanding and a different way of looking and relating to experience, are really well supported by being more gathered, by being more steady, by being more feeling more well-being. We can notice that we can adjust that, yeah, through the way that we breathe, through the way that we listen. We can actually give ourselves a more easeful, more pleasant experience, right? So keep doing that. Also, what we might notice is that insightful practices actually can pop us into a place that feels more easeful, feels more well-being, starts to adjust the breath from its own side, the awareness becomes wider, and then we can, support that. So hopefully, this is already kind of making sense, see how those fit together. Okay, so, what is Vedana? Let's just make sure that we're happy enough, we're clear enough about what we are actually talking about. So, all phenomena, any appearance, any contact with the world, externally, so like sounds, smells, tastes, the feeling of the air on the body, the feeling of the body on the floor, that kind of contact has a Vedana. And it could be very, very subtle, could easily be not noticed. Yeah. Birdsong, a cough, temperature, they all have a Vedana. I like that, I don't like that, I wish it was happening, I wish it wasn't happening. I'd like more of that. Yeah. And so, just for you to note, many times translators, at least into English, go for something like feeling, or feeling tone, to describe Vedana. Okay, let me just put that aside. I don't find that very useful, personally. There's also a more kind of accurate way of describing it, but it's almost pointless to even say something like that, that it's a hedonic classification of experience. You know, it's like, okay, fine, hedonic, to do with pleasure, classification, putting things into buckets or trays or whatever, you know. And then, we respond to it as if they have those things. So it comes in, we classify it, and then we say, yeah, you're one of them. And you're going to get this kind of treatment. Right? No way to live, right? A fun phrase that works for me is, it's a niceness opinion. It's an opinion we make about how nice or not nice something is. And there's two usefulnesses in there. It's a quality of something's nice, and what we know is that means to me, right? It'd be nice for me to have that. It'd be not nice for me to have that. There's a lot of me in here. And the second point is, it's an opinion. It's not true, and we don't need to believe that it's true. It's like, I'm making a niceness opinion about this birdsong. I'm making a niceness opinion about someone blowing their nose very near to me. It's like, But now it's gone, and you know, here I am, still having an unpleasant reaction to a sound that has gone, an experience that has passed. Yeah. So, is that not clear for anyone that experience happens with that aspect, that we have a niceness opinion. Okay. So it's normal, it's automatic, it's possibly, it can't be stopped, right? So the goal of Vedana practice is not to not have a niceness opinion, at this level at least. Yeah, what it is, it's an invitation to play with different things. It's like, oh, that pops up and that appears that way. But I don't have to grab hold, obsess over every pleasant thing that shows up. And in fact, that's not necessarily the nicest way. If we're listening to a beautiful piece of music and we keep stopping it, holding on as it's trying to flow through, you know, squeezing our head up against the speaker to get more of it, you know, it's not necessary, right? It's actually to open, to be moved, to be delighted, to be touched by those things. And so when something pleasant arises, it can be, stay open, stay sensitive, stay soft. And when it goes, it goes. We don't chase after it. Fully enjoyed and fully let go. And when something unpleasant comes up, we don't have to try and defeat it, smash it, escape from it, overreact, make it worse. No worries. You okay? And you know, and then when we do, we calm, we soothe, and we ease ourselves out of that level of reactivity. You know, and this is something it's quite important to notice, right? Is that actually if we get stressed, if we get reactive, if we get built up in these ways, soothing ourselves down is not just an immediate thing. It's not just a question of saying, oh, that was unpleasant and now I'm okay. It's like, that was unpleasant, and it's probably built up energy through the system. It's going to take some time to soothe, to ease, to let that pass through. Yeah. So a really important thing to notice about Vedana. It refers to me, and it builds up that sense of me and what I need to do about it. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with there being a lot of you here, and a lot of building up of more of you, but you can also just notice that sometimes it's a little bit unnecessary, yeah? And we just want to recognize, oh yeah, this actually says a lot more about me and the state of my body, heart, mind, than it does about this thing that now I've made the mission to grab hold of, get rid of. Vedana is also added on to the contact. Yeah? It's added on. It's not inherent to the thing itself. Right? So it will change over time. Yeah? It will change depending on the way that we relate to it. And it will actually also change depending on other environmental, you know, space-time causes and conditions. Yeah? I just noticed that wasp is stealing your attention from me. But like, how could you imagine? It's more interesting than a Vedana talk, but still. For me, yeah. I just think it's funny, so I guess I like it. So there's no such thing as a fixed Vedana. Yeah? No thing has one Vedana all the way through. And we kind of joked about a few of those things yesterday. So Vedana is a part of what it means to have a mindful relationship to experience. Yeah, just to notice that lifts the level of presence. Yeah, adds that dimension to experience of what's going on. And it's important to bring that in because it actually supports our presence, supports the sustaining of our mindfulness, because It's actually taking something which is quite a subtle level of reactivity. Right. That's nice, that's not nice. It's a bit reactive. Yeah. And by not buying into it, staying at that level of mindfulness, oh yes, unpleasant, oh yes, pleasant, oh yes, not getting much of my attention, we actually sustain less reactivity. And less reactivity is less dukkha, less stress, less distress, less pleasantness, more pleasantness. So today, at this point, what we really want to be looking for are ways of relating to our experience that bring less reactivity, that bring less identification, less reactivity through that Vedana way. And it's completely applicable because every experience has that, whether it's an inner experience, an outer experience, it's going to have a Vedana. So, before we kind of go into the practice, I just want to give you again just a sense of where we can use this. We can manifest all kinds of dukkhas for ourselves through the ways that we relate. You know, greed, aversion, restlessness, dullness, just a handful of the possible ways that we know how to entangle ourselves into an unpleasant state of heart and mind. And so what the Vedana practice does, it kind of opens out the possibilities of different ways of relating. And over the days, what we've basically been saying is what if you stay more spacious? What if you stay able to be more intimate because of that? What that spaciousness allows? What if we bring in more kindness and mindfulness or metta to our experience? What does that actually do to what we're meeting? And we could actually take an attitude like, I'm going to bring metta to all the Vedanas. Yeah, what's that going to look like? Different kinds of kindness. It's like, hold the pleasant in kindness. Hold the unpleasant in kindness. Hold the neither nor in kindness. And then kind of see what unfolds. Because that's really putting a different ingredient into the mix than we might find through the more common ways that we do. And that can actually support us to gift ourselves a really radically different kind of experience. You know, when you're enjoying something pleasant, like a sunset, you know, you kind of just go at the pace of the sunset, the changing colors, you keep your attention wide, and you just enjoy and appreciate it. What a lovely way to meet something that's pleasant. And yet when the other kind of pleasant things turn up, we often relate in a different way. Another aspect that we've mentioned about the Vedana practice is we can start to notice, maybe in a moment of distraction or just every so often, we just ask ourselves, what's the Vedana of this experience? What am I paying attention to in the body? What's the Vedana of that? And in psychology, there's something called the negativity bias, right? That we tend to notice what's not okay. Yeah. Example I remember from childhood, we used to do these jigsaw puzzles. Goodness knows why. 1,000 pieces, and put them together, find similar colors, do this kind of thing. And then you sometimes reach the end and you realize one piece is missing. And we allow that one piece out of 1,000 just to ruin the whole thing. It's like, well, that was a waste of time. Wish I hadn't done it. And as if that one piece actually decided happiness or unhappiness. And so we allow one thing not being quite right to completely absorb all of our attention. And instead of 999, that is fantastic. You know, you can't even put that into a percent. It's so high. It's so much is good here. So much to enjoy, so much to appreciate. And we'll see that negativity bias pop up. So much good in our lives. But I spend my time turning around. You know, like an animal tied to a post, just spinning around this unpleasantness. And so Vedana also offers out that opportunity is, am I actually being fair to my experience? Am I actually paying attention to what's really possible here? You know, there are lots and lots of things here that are getting overlooked. And so Vedana is an opportunity just to check in. So what am I thinking about? And what else could I be thinking about? What am I paying attention to? What else could I be paying attention to? And we'll explore this a little bit in the meditation. The other place that we talked about Vedana practice being really helpful is the escape hatch, or the get out of jail card. Yeah, like, was it Monopoly? Yeah. It's like, oh, sent to jail. No. Vedana, the get out of jail card. I'm in a papancha, this escalation, this built up experience of lots of objectification of existence, and it really is this way and I have to fix it or I'm going to get swallowed up, or you know, that person really is a nightmare in my life and I'm thinking about them again and it's all building up. Have to do something about them, and it's like, no, leave it, on retreat. No, but it's like we're pulled back in again, just as we were getting out. And it's this Vedana, get out of jail card. Oh, this is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. What do we do about things when they're unpleasant? Can we soften? Can I ease the breathing? Yeah. And so it's not like we have to say, but is it because of that relationship and it's because they treated me this way? It's not that kind of a question. It's just a question of, is this unpleasant? Yeah. And if we discover that it is, then we can ease it, soften it. It's nice to have a little dove singing next year. So again, a little reminder, just remembering we want to be balancing the well-being that we can generate from our own side. And even when we notice the Vedana, maybe that's actually an invitation to start developing the well-being that we can through the way that we listen, through the way that we breathe. You know, we've got to combine those practices in some ways. Okay, so let's put it into practice. Things often become so much clearer when we have a go at it. And then if there are questions remaining, we'll have time there for more questions and reflections. So just feel free to find your comfortable posture, your presence here. And we'd spend a bit of time just doing a bit of samadhi surfing, breathing, listening, cultivating well-being. Riding that breath. Or the vibrations of sounds. you bring your attention into connection with what we might call the mind, the activity of the mind, the mood of the mind, do you have a sense of what's the Vedana of the mind state right now? Is it enjoyable to be with, not enjoyable? Nice, not nice? Neither. However we find it, can we soften reactivity to that? And then return to the breathing, the listening. Gently, delicately, bringing the attention to what we might call the heart area, or the heart frequency of the experience. Does it feel accessible, inaccessible? Does it feel pleasant or unpleasant? Just very broadly speaking. And can we tolerate that? Allow for that. And then when you wish to, coming back to the breathing, to the sound. You notice the whole of the body here, the whole of the body, the whole space around the body that's alive with energy. How does it feel to have a body, this moment of body? Guide the attention around the body, exploring different areas. What grabs the attention? Seeing if you can include areas that are pleasant and unpleasant, and in between. find an area of the body that feels hard to be with. Maybe it's tight or it's painful. Practice as we did yesterday, giving that some space. Notice actually as you come wider around it, that the outer edges of it cease to be unpleasant. There has to be a boundary of this somewhere. Maybe it becomes neutral or pleasant. Just playing in that borderland with kindness. You can soothe through the breath that outer area. Or just imagine and feel the kindness of paying attention, giving your attention, generosity of that. Whether it's a sense of allowing or a sense of welcoming or a sense of soothing, notice if the Vedana changes. There's no such thing as a fixed Vedana. So exploring in whichever direction you want, opening out wider or going in towards with that kindness, as if you have some kindness to deliver. We're not trying to change it or get rid of it, we're just exploring. What happens? Keep on with this, or returning to the breath, to the sounds. What is it you're giving your kind attention to right now? Could there be more kindness in your attention? I'd like to invite you to again return to the body and see if we can find something that is neither pleasant nor unpleasant, being classified as that. I could make a few suggestions. Don't worry if they turn out to be pleasant. Your attention is bringing kindness, and that tends to skew the Vedana, lean the Vedana towards the pleasant. So, what might be neutral for you? Maybe earlobes, bottom of the ears, or under the chin, at the bottom of the mouth, underneath the tongue. Top of the head. Side of the elbows, whatever you like, wherever you notice it, maybe the little finger is having a good time. Just seeing how do we sustain interested attention to the sensations, the appearance and disappearance of life vibrations there. So this can be a very delicate area. It might be quite easy to be pulled away to more loud Vedana experiences. We might have the quality that we can really sink into this. It can be helpful to open out the space like we did with the so-called unpleasant Vedana. Could be that we need to regularly kind of come back to the breathing, to the listening, steadying the attention there, and then coming back in again. Invite you coming in again to the sensation that's not particularly pleasant, not particularly unpleasant. Feel the kindness in your attention, also the generosity of actually bringing this to life through seeing it, through knowing it. Life-giving attention. So this next suggestion might seem impossible, and if it turns out to be impossible, you can also check in the field of sounds. Is there somewhere that's kind of pleasant in the body? If we check in, maybe the palms of the hands, the energy of the palms of the hands can be quite pleasant. If we're daring enough to smile, we might find that quite pleasant. Just appreciate it into as much as we can, letting it emerge, letting it touch us. Again, we can explore with how much space helps it really blossom, and how much space is too much and it diffuses, kind of disappears a bit. So again, it might be a very subtle object, easy to slip off, become distracted. And just notice how it is to be more dispersed, more distant, and how it is to bring the body, the heart, the mind together into a present, felt experience. What's the Vedana of distraction? What's the Vedana of being more gathered? What's the Vedana of a tight face and of a relaxed face? And in the shoulders, in the belly. noticing the Vedana of this moment. You might notice it best by the level of reactivity, type of reactivity that's helping. This moment exists this way. Is unpleasant, can we allow it to pass through? If it's neither nor, can we bring interest instead of boredom? Experience the calm. And if it's pleasant, can we hold it, kiss it as it flies, be touched? What's the Vedana of this? So if we're all very lucky, maybe this practice feels accessible and helpful. And if you feel like including it some of the time, really do. But including it, I wouldn't switch all the way. Really supporting that openness, that calmness, that delicacy of attention. Really, you know, spending a lot of time still cultivating well-being through the metta, through the sounds, and the listening in those ways. And when we apply it, it's a really helpful principle of insight practice, is that we notice the impact. Like, don't overlook the impact. Just because someone said, if you do this, this happens, and we're like, yeah, that, okay, so that happens. It's a miracle that it happens. So don't miss the miracle by saying, yeah, I know, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, it's not that kind of a game. If you get into it, you see it, you enjoy it. It's important to linger with, wow, that's interesting, that's useful, that's freeing. We can bring this into the walking. You may notice that walking involves Vedana. Sometimes we imagine, I want to go out and walk. Much of the time we might imagine, I think I'd rather have a cup of tea or whatever. Yeah, it's like different Vedanas kind of play themselves out. And so, you know, how do we meet something if it doesn't feel like exactly what I want to be doing? Yeah, it's also part of our exploration and our experience. And also at times, it's like, what is it like when I actually allow myself to have what feels like it would be the more pleasant thing? And we check in, we discover, we explore together. And yeah, anything that contacts is going to have a Vedana. Yeah. And it'll have a different Vedana at different times. Yeah. Just noticing that, working with that, staying with that, and that can support our fluidity of practice together. Yeah. So through the days, try and notice all the kinds of Vedanas that are available to us, right? Not just the unpleasant Vedanas, really enjoying the pleasant and staying with it, enjoying the overlooked, bringing them into being. And yeah, may it support you. So we'll transition to some walking, or time for some questions and clarifications about this.